You know, when we look at the times in which we live, we look at our world, we look at our nation, it's so easy for us to rightfully, justifiably become worried, burdened, concerned. And I know probably most of the conversations that we have with each other sooner or later come around to that element. And this is certainly a very dangerous time for our nation. You could make a very good argument, probably the most dangerous time for our nation. And we need to be burdened. We need to be in prayer. There needs to be an urgency upon us as we seek the Lord for our nation. And yet, as we think about that, there's something else that we need to be. And that is the fact that we need to be thankful. And this is driven home for us in these first two verses of 1 Peter. Two verses, relatively short, and yet we could spend years looking at these two verses for all the wonderful truths that are here, not just for our head's sake, but for our heart's sake, to know by experience what is being said here. You think about what we read as we see what the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write. Notice what we see beginning in verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, I know we read those, and for most of us, that doesn't mean a whole lot when we read those locations. But need to understand, as Peter was writing this, as we see later on in the book, he was actually in Babylon at this time, and he writes to the individuals, believers, who were in these areas. Those areas are what we would now call modern Turkey. Now, these individuals, the overwhelming majority of them were Jewish believers, Jewish background. They were in that area as a result of God's judgment upon Israel and Judah in the Old Testament when they had been taken into Babylonian captivity, and then they had spread out throughout the known world, and a large portion of them, the greatest portion of them, did not ever come back to the land of Israel or what had been the land of Israel. And so now they were scattered throughout the Roman Empire, the known world. And they did, in fact, live as aliens, always a minority wherever it was that they were, and always somewhat set aside, marked aside. They did have what we would call freedom in the Roman Empire based upon the ways that that Israel came under control of Rome. But they were always somewhat of a group unto themselves wherever it is that they were. They were always aliens, if you will. And yet these particular readers were even more so, because while they had been Jewish in their background, they had come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so now they were not only different from all the other individuals who lived around them, but now they were actually different from the other Jews. In fact, as many times because of their faith, they were ostracized from family, friends, even sometimes their life's work. So they were aliens even from the aliens. These were people who were, in fact, going through a very difficult time. In fact, as Peter made that very clear when he said, as we'll see in the coming weeks down in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. These people were under pressure because of their faith. These people were, in fact, beginning to truly suffer for the Lord. And the reality was, it wasn't going to get better for them. In fact, is actually about to get a whole lot worse. If you go over to chapter 4 and you look at verse 12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. And so Peter writes to this group. They're already under pressure because of their faith. They were already aliens from a group of aliens, marked, set aside, if you will, ostracized, already under pressure, and about to come under even more pressure. And so we can imagine all the responses that they would have, being worried, concerned, burdened, just as we talked about ourselves a moment ago. But Peter makes it very clear there's something else they needed to be. The same thing that we need to be as well. And that is the fact that we need to be thankful. For continuing reading there in verse 1 through the end of verse 2, as he described them a moment ago, but notice what he says about them now, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. You think about what he was inspired to write to this group. this group that was already under pressure for their faith, having a difficult time, and were about to come under an even more difficult time, he makes it clear as we look at those verses there that they needed to be thankful as well, just as we do. And again, there's so much in these verses. These verses are so deep, so rich, so wonderful. And I hope this morning that we, get at least a brief understanding of the truth that are in these verses, not just to understand them, but for our own experience. Why should they, in such a difficult situation, be thankful? Why should we, in the times we live in, be so thankful? Notice what we see as we look at this passage. Number one, for His choosing. Again, look at the latter part of verse 1 going through verse 2. Who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Yeah, they may have been aliens, they may even have been aliens from aliens, but they were in fact chosen by God. And understand what that word foreknowledge means there. It does not mean merely to know in advance, like you know what's going to happen tomorrow. The word has a concept of intimacy with it, meaning that God knows it because God Himself brings it about. It is not merely just being able to have, tomorrow's newspaper or Drudge Report or whatever it is you look for news, but it's in fact, He knows it. He knew it because He in fact brought it about. It's the same word that if you would keep reading in chapter 1, you go to verse 20, it talks about how Christ was foreknown. Not just that the Father knew the Son was going to come, but it was His plan to in fact send the Son. You think about what we see over in Ephesians chapter 1, the very first part of verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a very simple reason why you know Christ as your Savior. And that is because He chose you. He sent His Son to die and rise again for your every sin. And then He sent His Spirit to open your eyes, to convict you, to put within you the desire to be right with God, to put within you a fear of the judgment that is to come, to give you an understanding of the gospel message, what it means that Jesus died and rose again for you, and to put within you the desire to trust Christ, the desire to know Him, to be born again, to be forgiven, in fact, to be adopted as God's child. Our Lord made this very clear. You go over to John chapter 6. You think about what He said in verse 44 as He talked to the crowd that day. He said, "No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Still in John 6, drop back to verse 37. "All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and the one who comes to Me I will certainly not cast out." We were believers. How thankful we need to be, because every part of our salvation is due unto Him. These individuals, aliens from among aliens, going through a difficult time, and yet Peter reminds them that they have been personally, individually chosen by God. I've never been much of a movie person, not out of real great super spiritual reasons. Main reason with my problem with movies is after about 40 minutes, I get bored and I want to go outside and play. But, like most parents, you had to sit through at least parts of it, time, the old movie Toy Story. And you remember the gist of the story, how the boy wrote his name on his toys, and that meant something when you had, when he wrote his name on you, that meant something because you were his. Child of God, understand, when the Father looks at you, what He has is His name written on you because you are His. We've in fact been brought unto Him. And by the way, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and there is that uneasiness about your sins, and there's that awareness that you need to be right with God, but you're not. And there's the fear of what that means in terms of eternity. And yet you feel this drawing in your heart as the truth of God's Word is being explained. Understand, that's not because you're so good or clever, and it certainly isn't because the speaker is gifted or talented. That is God Almighty Himself working upon your heart to bring you unto Himself. You think about it, even in these days in which we live, and I'm not saying we need to stick our head in the sand, because again, these are very dark, dangerous times for our nation, and never like before do we need to be in prayer and need to be involved. I'm not taking away from that at all, but we need to be thankful, because if we know Christ, it's because He's chosen us and brought us into Himself. What an incredible blessing we have because of His choosing. But look what else we see as we look at this passage. For His sanctification. Look again, still in verse 2, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ. The word sanctification, very simple, basic definition, means to be set apart. It means that He has in fact made us His own. You know, there was a believer in our fellowship several years ago who's gone on to be with the Lord, but I know as I visited him several times, one of the recurring phrases he would have as he talked very frankly about his circumstance, but also the world situation, even then, he would make the observation, he would quote that old song that you probably have sung 10,000 times, "This world is not my home." Why? Because we belong to Him. Now that aspect of being set apart begins, in fact, when our salvation, as the Holy Spirit does convict us, open our eyes, draw us unto Him. You think about what Jesus said in that conversation with Nicodemus over in John chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. You think about that. Again, the aspect of being set apart. Child of God, do you understand fully what you are as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? You are a miracle. Literally. Because again, you think about everything we've just stated, if it's all a work of God, which means only God can do it, that means every salvation, every conversion, every person who comes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior is in fact a miracle, because God has in fact brought it apart, brought it about. And while this begins, you know, when we come to know the Lord, it continues throughout our life. It is in fact the Holy Spirit who continuously sets us apart as His own, to be His own and to live for Him in this world. As we read God's Word, as we see in Romans chapter 12, He renews our minds. As we trust Him, as we see in Romans 8, He gives us victory. As we in fact seek to walk with Him, as we see in Galatians 5, He produces the fruit, the evidence in our life that we're in fact walking with Him. And in every day and in every way, He is making us to be more like Christ. You think about what we see over in Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You think what that means. When we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, yes, we are forgiven and cleansed from our sins. Yes, we are eternally right with God. But from that moment on, the Holy Spirit begins to work on us to make us more like Christ, to grow us, to mature us, to deepen us, to change us, to make us more like Himself. And He uses every circumstance and every situation for that end. Isn't this exactly what Paul wrote over in Romans chapter 8? When he said in verse 29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. Again, you think about every situation that we're in, God is using it to make us more like Christ, which is why so often He allows us into situations that stretch us, that try us, because He's working in every one of them to make us more like Himself. Look what else we see. I know we're moving quickly, but there is so much in these two verses. For His cleansing. Again, on our own, we're guilty before God. Our sins cover us. But this is where the cleansing work of Christ comes in. For as we see, as we continue looking there in verse 2, and be sprinkled with His blood. That's imagery taken from the Old Testament, because you see the sprinkling of blood throughout the Old Testament. Obviously in the Passover, You remember as they observed Passover, they were to take the blood and sprinkle it across the doorpost and along the side. So when the death angel came, would pass over them. That's what brought them the deliverance out of Egypt. You also would recall once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and would sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat, covering the sins of the nation, if you will. You recall that in Exodus 24, when the people entered into the covenant with God, they were in fact sprinkled with blood. Sin can only be dealt with by the shedding of blood, because the consequences of sin is in fact the death penalty. And blood has to be shed for the sin to be dealt with. This is exactly what the writer of Hebrews was pointing out for us in Hebrews 10:4. As he looked back and talked about how the Old Testament law and all the sacrifices there could never really deal with sin. Hebrews 10, verse 4, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." But then what about Christ? Well, think about what the writer of Hebrews said in that same 10th chapter, going down to verse 10. "By this will we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." We have in fact been cleansed by Him. In this same chapter of 1 Peter that we're looking at this morning, weeks from now, we'll see down in verses 18 through 19, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Now that is the basis of the cleansing that Christ has made possible. But I want you to think for a moment the blessing that comes out of that. Because we have, through Jesus Christ, been made clean. You think of the blessing that comes out of that for us. You think what Paul was inspired to write in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off," in fact, as we were separated and alienated from God, "have been brought near by the blood of Christ." How near? What was John inspired to write in 1 John 3, 1? "Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we would be called the children of God." Child of God. I know we use the term, you know, child of God quite often, but you think about the wonder of that. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we who were sinners in our heart, sinners in our conduct, rightfully separated from God, alienated from a holy God, there's no way we can go before Him. Under His righteous wrath and judgment, have in fact been cleansed and adopted as His dearly beloved child. You parents, you grandparents, you think about those children, how deeply you love them. You know, our love at best is still on a human level. You think about the perfect love of Almighty God. We are His children. You want a reason to be thankful, you just stop and contemplate that. You are God's dearly beloved child. What an awesome, incredible blessing. You know, we could just state that one thought and just let our minds ponder on it, and we would worship. You're God's child. All because of His wonderful cleansing that He has for us. And you know, that's not the end of that cleansing. Because unfortunately, I know as believers, we still sin. Even as believers, we think things that we shouldn't think. Sometimes we allow attitudes to stew that shouldn't be there. Sometimes we say things that we shouldn't, do things we shouldn't, or sometimes we don't do or say what we should. And while we do not lose our salvation, we do lose the closeness of the fellowship of the Father. And yet, what has God done for us? He still provides a cleansing through His Son, Jesus Christ. You think of what we see in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then verse 9 that you probably have memorized, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You think of the ongoing cleansing that we have through Jesus Christ so that that fellowship can be close, so that we can in fact experience the Father's love, strength, and guidance in our lives for His cleansing. But look what else we see. And again, these verses, there's so much here. Notice number 4, for His grace. Now I know we use that word an awful lot. Grace simply means God giving to us and doing for us what we have not earned, what we do not deserve, and what we can never ever repay Him for. And there's no reason for Him to do it other than the fact that He wants to do it. Now obviously our salvation, that is in terms of our being forgiven of our sins and being made right with God, is by grace and grace alone, as we have wonderfully sung already this morning and already talked about. But I want you to think about something. As we read this second verse, notice what he says, may grace be yours in the fullest measure. Well, these people are already believers. What's this thing about grace? Grace is not just limited to the act of bringing us to conversion, to the point of being born again, to the point of becoming a Christian, to the point of being made a child of God. It is, in fact, God's desire to grace us every single day. That is, to give to us what we need, even though we don't earn it, don't deserve it, and can never, ever repay Him for it. You think about that. God's desire is to pour out His grace for us on every day. I know we look at these days in which we live, and again, we become worried, we become burdened, we become anxious, but it is God's desire to give us everything we need to live our lives today. You think about what we read in Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You think about that. All your needs, spiritual, emotional, financial, occupational, relational, my God shall supply all of your needs. So we live in these times, we look around us, we have a lot of needs. And it may be as you're here this morning with the circumstances in your life that you're desperately in need this morning. We are before a God who will, in fact, pour out His grace upon His people. You think about what we see in Matthew 6:33. As our Lord spoke to a people who were very impoverished, worried about where they'd have their next meal, worried about their clothing, what did He tell them? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Child of God, whatever it is that you're needing this morning, the Father will provide it. Now, I do stress need, not necessarily want, but need. And again, it may be spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, whatever the case may be. He will, in fact, provide. He pours out His grace. What a reason to be thankful. Yes, we live in difficult times. I'm not taking away from that. But our Father's ability, our Father's resources, our Father's power and capability far exceeds whatever it is that we're facing. His grace. But then look at the last one. For His peace. To understand what we mean by peace. I know we think of peace merely, you know, if there's not a fight going on, well, then that's peace. The word peace in the New Testament goes far beyond that. It means to have an inner sense of wellness, an inner sense of well-being, that sense of calmness, if you will, from the inside out. You think about the fact, in spite, and it is a peace that He gives us in spite of the circumstances. You think about what we see in Psalm 29. Verse 11, The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. And while that's written as a prayer, understand that prayer was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is, in fact, God's will to bring it about. And you think about what that means. For us where we are in the times in which we live, and for you in whatever circumstances you find yourself in, whatever problem, worry, or burden, or concern you have this morning. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace, what? In every circumstance, including the one you're in now, whatever that may be, that sense of well-being. You think of those two verses, you probably have them memorized. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that passeth understanding. Meaning it doesn't make sense on a human level, but God will in fact give it to them. In fact, is there individuals in this room who have shared that, you know, their circumstances, either that I knew them at that time or they're looking back on very difficult circumstances, and they talked about having the reality of God's peace in some of the most difficult circumstances you can imagine. His peace. And in fact, it will guard our hearts and minds. I remember one time hearing, not in live, but on the radio, Chuck Swindoll preach a message where he quoted those two verses. And he picked up on that word guard. And he said that word guard is literally that, it's guard. And he reminded his audience that day that he did a stint in the Marine Corps back in the late 50s. And he said the imagery there is of a military sentry protecting a post, protecting some installation, on guard duty, protecting some something. And he said the peace of God is almost like, just, you know, he would visualize it as an ex-Marine, is almost like a Marine going back and forth across your mind, guarding you from the worry, the fear, the concern. And again, you may be going through a very difficult circumstance. And I know every one of us is burdened and concerned about our nation right now. Not taking away from any of that. And the need to be in prayer. But even in the midst of it, there can be a peace that passeth all understanding. You think about that. In fact, as you think about what a witnessing tool that is for us, in fact, it's some of the most effective times of witnessing that I've watched are individuals who are going through very difficult times. They have that peace, and the individuals they come in contact with are amazed that there's just that calmness there. And they wonder why, how? It's, well, because I know the Lord. The reality of Him working in our life and knowing I can trust Him. Child of God, you think about all that the Father has done for us in just two verses. Not to mention the rest of the scriptures. What a reason we have to be thankful. Yes, the times are difficult. I'm not taking away from that. And you may be going through a very real difficult time in your life. But you think of the Father that we have. What a reason to thank Him. Now, maybe you're here and you don't personally know the Father because you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Could it be this morning that you have felt Him speaking to you, convicting you, drawing you? We certainly invite you to place your faith, your trust in Him. Believer, maybe you need to turn your heart toward this wonderful God that we serve. And not only feel the relief, if you will, of being able to trust Him with the situation, but being able to thank Him in the midst of it for who He is and what you know He will do. What a wonderful God. Let's thank Him together.